Welcome to the Valley Brook Community Church podcast, and thank you for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from our current series, Together. As we study the foundations and rhythms of the early church, we can discover how being deeply connected in the community of believers can transform our lives, our cities, and the world. To watch any of our previous messages or find all listening platforms, we encourage you to visit www.valleybrook.cc/on-demand. Enjoy!
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to, morning. Nice. You guys awake? Are we awake yet? Or are we still kind of sleeping? Today is not the day to be sleeping. Trust me, you guys have no idea what we're in for. All right, I'm just going to jump right into it if that works for you guys. Does that work? Have we had enough coffee to just get right into what we're doing? If you're anything like me, I'm the kind of person that like 10 to 15 minutes into a talk, you've got me. But after that, the seat starts to get comfy, starts to feel like my bed. And now I'm like around and I'm like, oh man. And I don't remember much of the end half. Sorry, Clark. But honestly, this is, so if you're like me, the first 10 to 15 minutes are usually the most critical time in a talk. And so I want to be able to do this, get right into it today, because I don't want any of you to miss what we're talking about today. So we're going to jump right into it. All right, so I'm going to take you guys through one of my favorite stories in the scriptures. If you've heard it, awesome. If not, awesome. You're going to hear it again. Because this just smacks of what we need today. And so I'm going to be opening up my Bible here to Luke chapter 19. It's going to be up on the screen behind me. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. He ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. And since Jesus was coming that way, when Jesus reached that spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be a guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated out anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So real quick, what do we got? We got the king of the universe, a crowd of people, and a short tax collector. Boom, roasted. So just so you guys know some background information, because this is very helpful information in order to be able to feel what the people 2,000 years ago would have felt when they read this. For tax collectors, information about tax collectors, they were able to tax people in their hometowns and in their nations for Rome. So this was during the Roman Empire, and they would tax people for Rome, and the way they got their money and their income was Rome gave them the ability to raise that tax amount to whatever they wanted to be able to pay themselves. And so in reality, this was a group of people. Tax collectors were a group of people who are allowed to legally steal from people and had their government backing them up for it, and people couldn't say no to them out of fear of death, or even worse, forms of death. And so these people were hated. To stress that, I could not stress that enough, hated these people. And not only were they hated, but people honestly felt like they had their own like special sinner cooties that tax collectors had, so they couldn't even be like near them. And so they like all hung out with each other and they didn't want to be anywhere near them. Tax collectors were professional thieves, not liked at all. And so on top of this, a little bit of info that they say about this person, Zacchaeus, not only was he short, but he was rich, meaning he was good at it. He was competent in his craft of being able to steal from people. He is a master thief for the Roman Empire. So, oh boy, was he despised. And so we have this hated guy. And he wants to see Jesus. Do we know why? Not really, says he just wants to see who he is. But Jesus sees him. And when I say Jesus sees him, Jesus saw who he was and saw him in a way that is just absolutely incredible that we're going to get into about why that's so important. The world sees him in a very different way than Jesus saw him. The world saw him, the crowd, and even the author, Luke, as he's writing this, saw him as this rich tax collector, short guy who needed to do stuff, but Jesus saw him as honorable. Reason being is Jesus wanted to stay in his house. Back then, being a guest of someone's house was an honor. And this is a tough situation here because this person has such a long history of robbing people, and yet Jesus is honoring him by being a guest in his house. In a way, a perception that it gave the crowd is that he acknowledges him and almost maybe even affirmed him. And so this is why people were starting to question this. They're like, how could Jesus affirm such a person? How could Jesus accept such a person? You're going into his house. You're eating food bought with stolen money. Are you affirming his lifestyle? Are you affirming who he is? These are some of the questions that they may have had seeing him do this and go into this place. And Jesus didn't care what it looked like. He went in anyway. And the thing that I love about this story is I don't know if you're anything like me, but when I kind of noticed all of this, something in me started to crawl around. It didn't feel good. I didn't feel good about, is Jesus doing something he shouldn't be doing? Or am I reading into this a little more? Like, what's going on? Is Jesus affirming poor behavior? Why Jesus? Why is this story in our Gospels? Why is this story in our Bibles? Why did the people who wanted to tell you about who Jesus was, about being the Savior of the universe, feel like it was needed to tell this story? Because it kind of looks a little messy. Why? You could have told another one. How could Jesus do this? And the reason I love this is it's literally like one of my top three or four favorite stories in the Bible, because it is in this story and in that feeling of, is something weird going on here? It's bringing proof to our minds that it is not Jesus who sees things differently. It's us. We're not seeing correctly. It's clear that Jesus sees something so valuable and important, and he sees Zacchaeus in a way that we don't. We have the wrong map in how we see this story, how we see this person. And so this is what I'd like to kind of chat about today, because we're looking at a different landscape than Jesus is seeing. Stephen Covey, in one of his books, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, teaches that for people, when they're trying to change their lifestyle and gain new traits and new routines, he says, before you do any of those things, you need to make sure your paradigm is right. Because otherwise you're just adding a couple habits to your life, but they're not going to stick. They're not going to really matter. And he uses this analogy of having the wrong map to life. And so he says this, he goes, a map of Detroit might help you. And you might be able to see some things through that map, but it's not going to help you that much if you're in Chicago. You have the wrong map, not the wrong city. You've got the wrong map. And church, one of the reasons, you know, we've been talking the last couple of weeks, and we're going to be talking even more weeks about the early church community that you find in Acts 2, a church that Jesus desperately thought we needed, that the world needed. And he set this up so that the world could continue on with this church, a church that is marked by its community, by its generosity, by its love for people, by living out the teachings of Jesus and teaching it to other people. He believed that the world needed this so badly. And the reason that I'm bringing this up here today is because when we're talking about seeing things through the wrong map, I oftentimes believe, church, that we see church sometimes through the wrong map. They were not looking at the same landscape that Jesus did when he was referring to church, when he was looking at what our mission and our vision is. So I'd like to look at this today. If you have a map to a city, say you're looking at New York, saying you're looking at a map, you'll see some familiar things that show up in other cities. You'll see a town hall. You might see a national park. If you're like me, I look for like the zoos and aquarium first because those are like the coolest parts of any city. And so if you see these things, you'll see things that pop up in different cities. But a map of New York is not going to help you in Boston. I don't know if you've been to Boston versus New York, but they are nothing alike. You will get lost and you will never be able to get through. But they can kind of look similar because they have similar things in them. But it's not the same place. You can't get through Boston with a map of New York. And so when we look at church, you might see some familiar things if you have a different map. You might be able to see we have worship services, we have sermons, we have discussion groups, we have community groups, children and students and service opportunities, outreach. You're in the right city. Do you have the right map? When you look at church, can you get into the center and the heart of the church? Can you see where the core is, what they are called to do and be? Oftentimes, our culture, for the most part, when it sees church, it usually looks a little something like this. People come in, they sing a song, or maybe if they're bold enough or if they know the song, but they'll sit quietly sometimes. They'll hear a sermon to get a little nugget of new wisdom to be able to use and apply to your life. And then they might talk to some people on their way out. They may not. And then they leave. Repeat. Repeat. And rehearse. And rehearse. That kind of life of a church, to me at least, the map that that sounds like the map of an individual religious life. An individual religious life. Going to church, participating in some things, getting a nugget of wisdom, and leaving. If you were to ask Stephen Covey, it'd look a little bit like trying to change the routines before the paradigm. And many of us can get sucked up into that different map, and functioning off that is the map of an individual experience, of our individual religious life. It's the wrong map. It is the wrong map. If this is your experience in church, you are in the right city, you just don't have the right map. And you will not get very far in the kingdom of heaven if that is the way you navigate through things. If you're standing outside of New York City and you try to use a map of Boston or the other way around, you'll be able to kind of get to the surface level of some areas, but you really won't be able to get too deep into what the city has to offer and why it is there. That church life is kind of like how the crowd viewed Zacchaeus, only seeing the stuff on the outside, on the surface level, but not going any deeper and seeing the person that was inside. Yes, there was some trouble. Yes, Zacchaeus did some things that were absolutely awful, but there was something deeper that Jesus saw that the crowd could not see because their landscape and paradigm were different. So what is the map of Jesus? What is Jesus' map? How does he see? What does he see? Well, if you have that question, and I hope you do, then you're very similar to the disciples. Because there was a time when Jesus was doing his stuff, and the disciples were watching him, and it almost seemed like he was traversing a landscape that they just couldn't see, that he was trailblazing paths. And they're like, where are you going? I don't even know what you're doing. And so they stopped one day as he said he was leaving, and they went, Jesus, and this is a quote from one of the disciples, he says, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. You will see God if the map is right. It'll be clear to you. Jesus, church, is the map for church. When we want to know the way to go, the path to take, the truth to know, or the life to live, it's him. And this is something that I hope everybody can kind of lean in on and see. I want to do this again early on in this in our kind of talk here together. The way life is not a bunch of routines. It is not a principle to follow. It is a person to know. Truth, and you hear this so much in our culture today, that truth is this intellectual thing that we have to know and grasp. Church, lean in with me here. Truth is not a thing to know, it is a person to know. Truth is a person who cares about every single life on this planet, whether they believe in him or not. Truth comes down from up high, down to every life, and engages with every single life. That is truth. The way, the life to live, it is not a bunch of principles. It is not a routine. It is not a location on this planet to go visit on your bucket list. It is a person to connect with. That is the map. In Jesus's kingdom, life with God is inseparable from life in relationship, because truth and the way and the life, it's relational. And this is the map that oftentimes I see very frequently, that the map is real. People oftentimes think it's an informational thing. It's relational, not informational. Pastor Andy Stanley said this way, and I love it, as he's looking at the kingdom of heaven and trying to describe it to people who may not know and may see through a different map. He says, Jesus's kingdom, his city that you are in, the kingdom of heaven, is a one another kingdom. You cannot do it alone. We are not meant to be alone. Meaning, you can come to church and do some of the things that we have in here, and they are good things. It is awesome, the stuff that we have going on here. But if you do not have the right map, then you will not be able to get into the city and be able to enjoy what it really is and allow it to fill you up and guide you, because it is a relationship. You have to engage on the relational level, not just the informational level. Informational level is an individual religious life. A relational level, that's the kingdom of heaven. We were made to be in relationship. There has never been a time of human history when we were made to be alone. I'll tell you this, we have been given by God a purpose on this planet, and that purpose is to be in relationship, and that purpose cannot be fulfilled without relationships. God has never designed us to work that way. If you go all the way back to the beginning in Genesis 1, it says, "Then the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living person." It goes on and says, "Then the Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden, this heaven and earth space, to cultivate it and tend it. Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him.' And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock and the birds of the sky and every animal of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place, and the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from a man and brought her to the man." Humans being alone is the only thing in the entire created order that God looked at and went, "That's not good. That has to be different. It is not good for man to be alone." We have to be in relationship to live out the purpose that God has given us, to steward and cultivate the earth. We have to do it together, not alone. Here at Valleybrook, one of our habits of our team and something we teach to all of our volunteers, we believe this, we teach this, and this is something so central because we want to remember that this is how we enact our purpose. Even as a church, one of the things that we teach here at Valleybrook, no one serves alone. We teach this everywhere. If you are serving alone in a capacity here at Valleybrook, we believe that God's opinion of that is that's not good. So we serve together in everything that we do. The map is relational, not informational. We mentioned last week, actually, before I go on to that, our message, this is a central thing. I almost missed this. Oh my goodness. This is a central thing. You can believe in Jesus on your own. You can back me up with the New Testament on this if you need to. You can believe in Jesus on your own, but you cannot follow him on your own. You cannot follow him on your own. That is why we do it together. Last week, we mentioned the greatest commandment that Jesus spoke about. He said that it's a twofold dimension. It is love for God, loving your God, and loving your neighbor. The director of student ministries at Valleybrook Community Church, Louis Franco, was quoted once when I asked him, hey, what's a good way to say this? And he quoted as saying this, bro, you can't be a good neighbor without a neighbor. I told you I would do it. The map of church is relational because Jesus is relational. And his kingdom is a one another kingdom. Do you want proof of this? More proof of this? Look at what happened in Zacchaeus' life when Jesus engaged with him on the relational level. Look what happened. His entire life was changed dramatically, a 180 degree shift. He not only gave to the poor after being a thief, but now he had returned back everything that he had stolen to a higher degree. Look at his life. He, instead of taking more that was needed, he gave more that was needed. And that happened because Jesus made room for him at the table. That Jesus saw him and connected with him in a relational level. It is not a bunch of habits of giving and doing nice things. He was seen and fully connected with the God of the universe. And that changed him so drastically, and his map became right. You know the best part about this, at least in my opinion? When Jesus went there to sit down at the house of Zacchaeus, we don't know what he said. Is that up there? Yeah, we don't know what they said when they met together. In God's infinite wisdom of this story, all he needed for us to know is that he made space to be there. And that was enough. I imagine God going up saying, yep, that's good, they'll get it. That was enough. A changed life came from the posture Jesus had and the map that he used. That's what we want to see. The map of church is relational because Jesus is relational and his kingdom is a one another kingdom. Do not try to serve or come to church alone. You're in the right city. That's the wrong map. One of the ways that we do this here at Valleybrook is we intentionally meet in groups through our Monday through Saturday, some after church on Sunday, but during the rest of the week. Why? Because that's where the relationships are made. We connect with one another. We allow the map of church to take shape in our life and devotion to Jesus. It is not just come in, get something, leave. We are connecting further in hopes that God will do that good work in our lives that he did with Zacchaeus and then continue to do that in the members of the other people that we are connecting with. And that we together can help change lives by bringing them to Jesus, by making space to connect. We make our Mondays through our Saturdays, our religious life here at Valleybrook, our Mondays through Saturdays, as important. We value those times. We see them as needed. In my opinion, a religious life, this is just me, a religious life that focuses on only Sunday mornings at expense of the Monday through Saturday is not worth our life. It's not going deep into the city. You're on the outsides. Sundays are absolutely wonderful, but only when they are in relationships does this map here on church make sense. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up now. We want to invite you to join us throughout the week, to continue to join us in the relational level of church, not just the informational level of church. We want you to be a part of this city. You're in the right city. You made it. Take a step further with us. Jump in. And many of us, just to say here, because I want to speak too to the people online here, I know many of us are in seasons of life where we may not be able to connect. We may not be in a place of life that allows us easily to connect with other people. This is where, almost like our baby dedication this morning, that we ask the rest of you, keep connecting. Reach out to those who are lost, like Zacchaeus. Jesus had a heart for those who were lost and could not connect for a multitude of reasons, whether socially or physically or anything. You see people, you see Jesus engage with people of all those crowds in his ministry. He is asking us to do the same. Reach out. Connect with those that can't. Make sure they're in the city. God will care for them and change their life if they are. It's bigger than just us. It's relational. If you are here and this is new to you, we love doing this. Following Jesus is our passion in life here, is the whole purpose of why we are here as a church. The whole reason our church came to this area in the first place is to connect with God and go out and seek the lost and connect with them and bring them to Jesus. If you want to be a part of this, join us. Join us as we do it. Connect with us through the relational level, and you will see lives changed. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, may you be exalted. Lord, you are our refuge and strength. Thank you, Lord, for sending your son Jesus, not only just to die for our sins and rise again, defeating the power of death and sin. That is the greatest thing that could ever be done. But thank you also for living. And thank you that we have these stories of how you lived to teach us then how to live. Lord, I pray that as we continue to devote our lives to you, that we apply this to our lives, that we apply your map so that we may see the way that you see, that we can see the world the way that you see it, that we do not get caught up looking at all the outside things that everyone else in the world sees, where the crowd sees. Lord, if we saw only the way that the crowd saw, there would be so many Zacchaeuses in life that would not have changed lives, because no one connected with them on the level that you connected with him. Lord, may we not be like the crowd. May we be like you and see like you and do like you. Thank you, Lord, for your love and for your mission. I pray that everyone here finds a place to connect and that no one at Valleybrook serves you alone. We thank you, Lord. In your name we pray, amen.